Blog Talk Radio.
Live from Blog Talk Radio, you're listening to The Best Hour with your host Tony Williamson and the Mighty Companions. You can find us at blogtalkradio.com/course mastery, or just search for us at Blog Talk Radio, The Best Hour. Each day during The Best Hour broadcast, we journey into a better understanding of A Course in Miracles. With over 2 million copies in print, this beautiful scripture, first published in 1975, has been translated into many languages worldwide. If you want to talk with our host during the broadcast today, just dial 347-324-5114, 347-324-5114. And now, here's your host for the best hour, Tony Williamson.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters. Glad to be with you again this morning. Wow, another week has slipped by. It's Friday morning, and we're going to be talking about Lesson 87. We are just finishing up a review here through the weekend, and next week we'll be starting some new lessons in the workbook. And we're going to finish the last section in Chapter 8, The Journey Back, Healing as Corrected Perception, is the title of this section. It is Section 9. If you're following along in the second edition, it's on page 157, Healing as Corrected Perception. I have said before that the Holy Spirit is the answer. This is Jesus talking to you, okay, and me. We can also say that it is the Holy Spirit, because we discovered, have we not, that now there is only oneness. There is just the one mind. This is really ultimately what we come to grasp. We come to recognize that instead of our will, something that we are, you know, doing on our own, being orphans and separated from our source of life, that if we just would stop, well, as we talked about yesterday, maybe just put the brakes on a little bit, because we seem to be moving away from God in our own opinions, our own perceptions, our own judgments, our own condemnations, our own self-concepts. If we just put the brakes on and just pause, just in that moment, to just look at what's going on around us and recognize of our own self, we do nothing. Truly, of our own self, we do nothing. So after all the struggling and striving and straining, if we just put the brakes on and recognize that simple fact, of our own self, we do nothing. As a wave itself on the ocean, you know, is not, you know, directing its momentum. It is the ocean itself. There is a source of life and love that is your source of life and love. And it is living you. And when you quit striving and scratching and clawing, it reminds me of the story I was told once about someone who fell into, standing on the side of a bank of the river, and they fell into the river, and they began to panic, fearing for their life. And so they were grasping and clinging at every little branch and every little rock and clawing at the banks of the river as they were being swept down the river. And after a while of striving and strain, they began to dawn on them that they weren't sinking. And they realized that they'd been wearing a life vest all along. And once they became comfortable enough in the recognition that they were okay, that they weren't going to drown, they began to relax a little bit. Next thing you know, they began to enjoy the ride. And they even discovered that if they would just calm down and just move gently a little here and a little there, and allow the river to carry them, that they could even make choices, if they would like to, between which branch in the river they would go to. That's not unlike our very situation, this ego that seems to want to grasp and cling and claw at the riverbank, the struggle of life, the desire that we, you know, must, the thought that our desires are an indication that we must strain and we must struggle and we must sacrifice and we must, and that's bullshit. Of our own self, we do nothing. But what we must do is to relax and recognize that we are resting in the gentle arms of love. Now, if it's not turning out exactly the way that you would like it to, that's a pretty good indication that you need to put your foot on the brake for just a moment and begin to recognize with a little humility that you are not creating yourself. Maybe you have forgotten about humility altogether. Maybe you're not recognizing that every gift that is given you, if you're not grateful for whatever's going on in your life right now, if you're not grateful, and if you're not humble and recognize that you did not create yourself, you do not even know when you were created. You're in charge of nothing. So why strain? Why struggle? Why claw at the riverbank? You're not going to drown. You are loved. Can't you see that? You don't think it's turning out the way you wanted it, but then all along, actually what's going on is exactly what you have manifested. When are you going to start taking responsibility? When am I going to start taking responsibility? Everything is manifesting exactly as I would have it be, or it would not be in my experience. You are responsible. You are not a victim of someone else's actions or lack of actions, someone else's behavior, even the description that someone else is treating you badly or poorly or good or bad is playing God, defining what God is being. Why don't you relax a little bit? As Jesus has said, the answer has always been the Holy Spirit. It's that voice within your mind that you keep ignoring it, paying attention to only what you believe to be your own thoughts, your own opinions, your own positionality. There's no neutral here. There's no you and ego and Holy Spirit. There's never been a you, period. You are an expression of God herself, and you believe that you have your own will and that you can listen to the ego a little bit or listen to the Holy Spirit a little bit but play neutral all day long. No, you can't. You're either in reverse, moving away from your source or moving away from the recognition of what you are, or you are listening to the answer that solves all of the problems that you think you have, that solves all of the conflict that you think you have. It solves every question that you've ever had and relieves you of all of the sense of strain and struggle. And within this voice, which is nothing more than your right mind, the voice for God, the oneness that you will always be with your Creator, you will discover the pathway, the desire that you only need to allow and surrender to, humbly, and surrender to this and allow this desire to come forth through you, and all of the joy, the glory, and the power of all of heaven and on earth is yours. You are resting in the arms of God. That you have never changed. You can imagine differently. You can play God. You can scratch and tear at the banks of the river, but you will not drown. And any unhappiness that you think you're experiencing, You have manifested that perception. No one else. Any lack or scarcity or thoughts of incompleteness that you believe you are suffering from, you have manifested that experience, no one else. And you are only experiencing that, feeling that, because you are straining and struggling against the movement of love that is all there is and all there ever has been of you that is real. It's time to remember humility. It's time to awaken to the truth of what we are. The Holy Spirit is the answer. He's the answer to everything because He knows what the answer to everything is. The ego, this voice that keeps trying to convince us that it is what we are, that we are this body, this individual, this orphan, this separated from everything self, the ego does not know what a real question even is, although it asks an endless number of questions. You can learn this as you learn to question the value of the ego and thus establish your ability to evaluate its questions. You can hone your skills to question the ego. When the ego tempts you to sickness, to believe in sickness, to believe in sin, to believe in guilt and shame and scarcity and lack, when it tempts you to believe even in death, don't ask the Holy Spirit to heal the body, to heal your situation. Oh, woe is me. Why hast thou forsaken me? Don't ask the Holy Spirit to heal the body, for this would merely be to accept the ego's belief that the body is the proper aim of healing. It is the problem, that the world is the problem. How often have we turned to God and turned to the Holy Spirit and turned within and begged for things to be different in the world? Oh, I would just be happier if the world were different, if the world were treating me different. If my partner were different, if my spouse were different, if my children were different, if my parents were different, if my brothers and sisters, you know, loved me more, they respected me, or understood me, if my boss, you know, didn't disrespect me. If God will just fix the world, I'll be happy. Don't ask the Holy Spirit to heal the world, to heal the body. But this would merely be to accept the ego's belief that the body is the proper aim of healing to begin with. Ask rather that the Holy Spirit teach you the right perception of the body, the right perception of the world, the right perception of your mind. For perception alone can be distorted. Only perception can be sick, because only perception can be wrong. Wrong perception is the wish that things be as they are not. Think about that. Very important statement. It's a very important sentence. Wrong perception is the wish that things be as they are not. The reality of everything is totally harmless. Dreams have no effect. All events are neutral. The reality of everything is totally harmless, because total harmlessness is the condition of its reality. It is also the condition of your awareness of its reality. You do not have to seek reality. It will seek you and find you when you meet its conditions. What are those conditions? Allowance. Acceptance. To establish an intention of awareness of the life that is living you, and ultimately to surrendering to it. with humility, recognizing that of yourself you do nothing. It will seek you. It is seeking you. And it will find you when you meet its conditions. Its conditions are part of what it is. And this part only is up to you. The rest is of itself. You need do so little because your little part is so powerful that it will bring the whole to you. It will bring all to you. What is this allness? Truth. Awakening. Realization of self. Remembering of the God self that you are. You and God are one. And that one is God. And when you let that be, you get your identity back. So accept, then, your little part. And then let, if you accept your little part, then you let the whole be yours. Wholeness heals because it is of the mind. All forms of sickness, even unto death, are just physical expressions of the fear of awakening. The fear of awakening. All forms of sickness, even unto death, are nothing more than physical expressions of the fear of awakening. They are attempts to reinforce sleeping out of fear of waking. Attempts to reinforce sleeping, the sleeping mind. This is a pathetic way of trying not to see by rendering the faculties of seeing ineffectual. I have walled off part of my mind that knows that I am safe at home in the arms of God right this now. This is a pathetic way of trying to see by rendering the very faculties for seeing ineffectual. Rest in peace, quote-unquote, is a blessing for the living, not the dead. Because rest comes from waking, not from sleeping. Sleep is withdrawing. Waking is joining. Dreams are illusions of joining because they reflect the ego's distorted notions about what joining is. Yet the Holy Spirit, too, has used for sleep and can use dreams on behalf of waking if you will let him. But that's your choice, isn't it? How you wake is a sign of how you have used sleep. To whom did you give it? Under which teacher did you place it? How have you used your sleep? Whenever you wake dispiritedly, it was not given to the Holy Spirit. Only when you awaken joyously have you utilized sleep according to his purpose. You can indeed be drugged by sleep if you have misused it on behalf of sickness. Sleep is no more a form of death than death is a form of unconsciousness. Complete unconsciousness is impossible. You can rest in peace only because you are awake. Healing is released from fear of waking and the substitution of the decision to wake. The decision to wake is the reflection of the will to love, since all healing involves replacing fear with love. The Holy Spirit cannot distinguish among degrees of error, or if he taught that one form of sickness is more serious than another, he would be teaching that one error can be more real than another. His function is to distinguish only between the false and the true, replacing the false with the true. The ego, which always wants to weaken your mind, the mind, tries to separate it from the body in an attempt to destroy it. Yet the ego actually believes that it is protecting it. This is because the ego believes that mind is dangerous and that to make mindless is to heal. But to make mindless is impossible, since it would mean to make nothing out of what God has created. The ego despises weakness, even though it makes every effort to induce it. The ego wants only what it hates. And to the ego, this is perfectly sensible. Believing in the power of attack, the ego wants to attack. The Bible enjoins you to be perfect, to heal all errors, to take no thought of the body as separate, and to accomplish all things in my name. This is not my name alone, for ours is a shared identification. The name of God's Son is one, and you are enjoined to do the works of love because we share this oneness. Our minds are whole because they are one. If you are sick, you are withdrawing from me. Yet you cannot withdraw from me alone. You can only withdraw from yourself and me. Surely, you have surely begun to realize that this is a very practical course, and one that means exactly what it says. I would not ask you to do things that you cannot do, and it is impossible that I could do things you cannot do. Given this, and given this quite literally, nothing can prevent you from doing exactly what I ask, and everything argues for your doing it. I give you no limits because God lays none upon you. When you limit yourself, we are not of one mind, and that is sickness. Yet sickness is not of the body, but of the mind. All forms of sickness are signs that the mind is split and does not accept a unified purpose. The unification of purpose, then, is the Holy Spirit's only way of healing. This is because it is the only level at which healing means anything. The reestablishing of meaning in a chaotic thought system is the way to heal it. Your task is only to meet the conditions for meaning, since meaning itself is of God. Yet, your return to meaning is essential to His, because your meaning is part of His. Your healing, then, is part of His health, since it is part of His wholeness. He cannot lose this, but you can not know it. It is still His will for you, and His will must stand forever and in all things. Hallelujah. And thank God for that. This weekend, beginning tomorrow, we're going to start talking about Chapter 9, the acceptance of the atonement and the acceptance of reality. This has been a very powerful foundational. We're still really building foundation here. We're, you know, about 150 pages or so into the course textbook. We're about 85 or today 87 lessons into the text, into the workbook. But we are still building a foundation. We're still building a foundation. We're beginning to see, not with the body's eyes, but with our mind, with some amount of clarity, what we've been doing. I should say what the ego has been doing to hold us hostage. Tempting us with a siren song that we are free and that we have a free will and we can do what we want to, all along being its puppet, being its prisoner, giving it a life in a land of illusion that does not even exist, a dreamscape, not unlike the dreamscape that we experienced last night as we dreamt. While we walled off that part of our consciousness that knew that we were safe at home in bed, we dreamed of other places, other experiences, other bodies, in a world that appeared just as real, with all the laws of gravity and all the laws of insanity fully intact. But how did we use those dreams? How did we use that state of sleeping? What I believe that I'm reading and and pointed to share with you is that we can practice and to set our intention before we go to sleep at night, to clear the field, to clear our mind, to let the day go, to offer it up to the Holy Spirit and say, it is good, it is done. And to allow our mind, even in our sleep, to cultivate the thoughts of truth, to listen to the voice of reality, to practice it throughout the day, of course, yes, but also to use our sleep and with the desire to reawaken, to set the intention, and through allowance and ultimately surrender, letting the day go, and setting a feeling tone for our sleep and our rest at night. The mind never sleeps. Our lesson today is review of formerly lesson 73 and 74. Today it's lesson 87. I will there be light is the first one, and the second one is there is no will but God's. I will there be light. I will use the power of my will today. It is not my will to grope about in darkness, fearful of shadows and afraid of things unseen and unreal. It is not my will to grasp and cling and strive and strain at the banks of the river, believing myself to be frail and vulnerable and subject to sickness and death, being swept down the mighty river of life as a leaf on a river stream. It is not my will to grope about in darkness, fearful of shadows and afraid of things unseen and unreal. Light shall be my guide today. I will follow it where it leads me, and I will look only on what it shows me. This day I will experience the peace of true perception. This is a powerful declaration. This is a powerful statement of intention. And this is a powerful statement of intention in line with your desire to awaken, which must be so, or you would not be listening to my voice, and you would not be tuning into this broadcast, and you would not be studying A Course in Miracles. You have set the desire. You have recognized that this mystery we call God, this mystery we call the source of life, the source of all that is beckoning to us. It is beckoning to you to awaken. You have recognized the desire, and you are setting this intention with this powerful statement today that it is your will to join your will with that of your right mind, to recognize yourself, and to ask, to stop moving in reverse and listening to the mind of insanity that's always screaming and speaking and talking and never, ever seems to shut up. You're setting an intention to practice listening, to ask of someone other than this crazy, insane mind we call self, ego, small self, the I, the me that is busy constructing self-concepts all day long. We're setting an intention. We're setting a very powerful intention to listen. Because if we will listen to our right mind, our right mind that has never broken the communication with God, the Holy Spirit, the voice for God, is nothing more than your right mind. And to set this intention that this day I will experience a piece of true perception is to make a statement of allowance and surrender to the will of God. Which is to simply ask, Father, what is the truth here? I would see this, your eyes, I would see this through the eyes of true perception. I would see this through the eyes of a corrected perception. I would see this through the eyes of love and forgiveness. Father, what is the truth here? And then to be quiet, even for the briefest of moments, and to listen to that voice. It is speaking to you. It is always available to you. You've never been an orphan. There are three companion statements here that can be used for specific application. Whatever's going on today cannot hide the light I will to see. I will to see the light of truth in all situations. I will to see it. It is my intention. Whatever's going on in my life today will not hide the light of truth from my awareness. Because this, whatever it is, cannot hide the light that I will to see. You stand with me in light, whoever it is that might be in your presence today, in your experience today, or even in your experience in the past, that you might be holding some grievance again. We've been talking a lot about grievances in this review and in these former lessons, that these are just judgments that we're not willing to let go of. You stand with me in the light and then give this one, you know, as part of your thoughts, you know, name their name. And then the last one is, in the light, this will look different. This is also another statement of intention to put your foot on the brake, quit listening to your ego thoughts, because you've already formulated some idea, some opinion, some positionality about whatever appears to be going on, and you can also say, in the light, this will look different. And that will arrest your thoughts. Even for the briefest of moments, you have the opportunity to hear the voice for truth. Our second review is, there is no will but God. But before we go to that, I just want to reiterate. We want to spend a few minutes, 3 or 4 minutes, in review of this first part. I will to see the light. I will there be light. We want to review that for 3 or 4 minutes and read through this and then meditate for 10, 12 minutes. Get about 15 minutes in on this one. And then saying it frequently throughout the day, add it to your smartphone, add it to a reminder, I will there be light. And in the second half of our day, we study our second part of our review lesson. There is no will but God. I am safe today because there is no will but God. I can become afraid only when I believe there is another will. When I believe that I have a free will. When I believe that there is another will that I claim mine. That's the only time I can ever really become afraid. I try to attack only when I'm afraid. Because the ego sees attack as defense, this is a way for us to recognize ego thoughts. I try to attack only when I'm afraid. And only when I try to attack can I believe that my eternal safety is threatened. Today, I will recognize that all this has not occurred. Today, I am safe because there is no will but God. I am resting in the love and the gentle caress of the arms of God. I don't have to scratch and drive and clean to the riverbank. Everything's okay. You cannot be where God has not intended you to be. That's why you are where you are right now. So there are some specific applications today that we have some useful forms that this might apply to, this idea, there is no will but God. Let me perceive this, whatever it is, in accordance with the will of God. Again, we are asking and setting an intention statement to listen to the voice for God. It is God's will. You are his son. whatever name you want to add there, and mine as well. It is God's will you are his daughter, and mine as well. And then you add the name there, as you would like to. And last but not least, this is part of God's will for me, however I may see it. That is acceptance, right? That's a statement of acceptance and surrender. This is part of God's will for me. Everything that's coming up is an opportunity for awakening, the recognition of God in everything and God in self, your true self. Everything is an opportunity for unlearning, as the ego would have you learn, and to awakening to a corrected perception, a new perception, the truth of what you are. Thank God and hallelujah for that. But we cannot do it alone. And thank God we don't have to do it alone. We only need to turn within. And with that, my brothers and sisters, I ask that you will join me for a moment of silence and prayer. We thank you, Father, for your guarantee of only happy outcomes in the end. Help us not interfere. Help us to recognize that we don't need to strive and strain and grasp and cling and get and gather of our own selves that we need do nothing. Help us to not interfere and so delay the happy endings that you have already promised us for every problem that we can perceive, for every trial that we think we still must meet. Because your promise is that a happy outcome to all things is sure. And in your gentle, loving arms, we rest. In the knowing that we are love, we are loved, we are lovable. And that you are all that we ever truly experience. It's right there, right here, wherever we may be. We thank you for the lessons that you've shared through our brother Christ Jesus today, through this teaching, A Course in Miracles, Father. Thank you for opening our eyes yet even just a little more against the resistance that we have created, the obstacles that we have created to the awareness of your presence. We are so very grateful and so very humble, Father, that of ourselves we need do nothing because of ourselves we can do nothing. And the recognition of this is to turn willingly within to hear your voice so that you may guide us today, so that we may recognize our part in your plan of salvation. In your name we pray, Father. Amen. We will be back, my brothers and sisters, tomorrow morning for a Saturday episode. I hope you have a beautiful Friday. God bless you. I love you.
Hello again, dearly beloved and mighty companions. This is your host, Tony Williamson, saying once again, thanks so much for joining us on today's episode of The Best Hour. If you'd like to reach me directly, you can find me at tony@truethoughtministry.com. That's T-O-N-Y @truethoughtministry.com. And if you go to www.truethoughtministry.com, you can join our email list there as well. I look forward to being with you again tomorrow. Thanks so much, my brothers and sisters. God bless.